Hello and welcome again to MCC Online. It's great that we can join together this morning in this virtual world that we've been doing over the past quite a few weeks now, in the middle of a long weekend. So I trust that you're having a good weekend, although if it's anything like me, it's like every other weekend that we've been having lately. But now a few of you have been able to get away. So if you've done that, hello from wherever you're watching us and at whatever time you're watching us, because that's one of the joys of being able to do church online is that we can watch it wherever and whenever we want after it's gone to air, of course. It is a timely reminder that we can get together in small groups and watch the service together. And I know a few of you are already doing that. So if you're watching the service this morning with someone else or another family, why don't you send us a message on Facebook now so we can all see who you're worshiping with. And likewise, if you're not doing that just yet, why don't you reach out to someone during the week and see whether you can invite them around to watch the service next week or have morning tea or something in a COVID safe manner, of course. But yeah, looking forward to being able to share the service with each other in small groups in this time where we can't meet in the bigger group. Now, this morning, Jeremy is going to bring us the third part in his series on the Good Samaritan. So really looking forward to hearing from him. And a bit later in the service, we'll also be having communion together in this virtual world too. So if you're not prepared for that just yet, why not in the next song go and get something that symbolizes Christ's body and Christ's blood that he spilled for us. We usually use bread or we use a juice, but why don't you go and grab something from the kitchen and do that whilst you're singing at the top of your lungs? And that would be a great way that we can celebrate together in this virtual world that we're in at the moment. Tonight we won't be having any online inspiring conversations, but why don't you go and have some offline inspiring conversations by popping around to someone else's place with their invitation, of course, or going out in a small group to dinner as well. So nothing on Zoom tonight, but next week we're looking forward to having Beth Hodson prepare some Italian meatballs for us and talking about her faith-based values and how she uses them in business. Now, unless you're in the Hodson household, you probably won't get any Italian meatballs unless you make them yourself, because of course we'll be holding that inspiring conversation on Zoom. Now, it is a week that we've been allowed to go out and dine again in cafes and restaurants, and there's been no local transmissions of COVID-19. So step by step, it feels like we're getting that little bit closer to being able to worship together on a Sunday. Now, members at Miranda Kong who are voting members would have received an email on Friday explaining some of the changes that we're planning to do to the building in this time that we're not meeting together. And Heath will explain that a little bit later on this morning as well on this online service. We do need members to respond to that email as well, because we'll have a meeting on the 21st of June. So we just need to know if you can make it and you can join that meeting, because again, we have some restrictions about how many people we can have in each venue. So a couple of logistics we need to work through there. So if you haven't read that email yet or responded to that email, if you could do that as soon as possible, that would be greatly appreciated. In other church news this week, we bid a sad farewell and send our condolences to the family of one of our woman-to-woman ladies, Barbara. So her service will be held this Tuesday at 11 a.m. So please be in prayer for the family and friends there who know Barbara. And also, I want to send out a big happy birthday to Max. He is celebrating his 90th this Tuesday as well. So Our happy birthday to you, Max. I hope you have a real good day. So in what has been a difficult week all around the world, with all sorts of things going on, let's just open our hearts and our minds this morning to what God has to say to us. Father, we pray that you'll be with us this morning as we come together to worship you, wherever we might be. Pray for Jeremy as he brings us a message on the Good Samaritan, and that this message would apply to us in our lives as well. Lord, in what has been a difficult week out there in the world, with the pandemic, with questions about race, with questions of discrimination, Lord, we just thank you that we can be joined together in unity this morning under Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just thank you that you have saved us. We thank you for your Son and sending him so that we may have eternal life in you. We pray this in your Son's most powerful name. Amen.
Hello, my name is James, and with everything going on in the world at the moment, I thought it would be appropriate that we share in a prayer of a lament together. So I'm going to start off by reading from Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I'll yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Dear God, at such a time as this, where we get to see the world in all its brokenness, with sin so clearly on display, and the frailty of the world that we live, we cry out to you in mourning for the things that are wrong, and we hope, Lord, and ask you fervently, when will they be made right? When will the time come that you will finally renew all things? And while we are here on earth, I pray that you be helping us to love our neighbour in all that we do, in all that we say to all those around us. We pray for our leaders and leaders around the world, that they would govern well, that they would be exercising the authority that you have given to them in a way that is just and that is right, that people would not go out and oppress the poor and the vulnerable, that they would be using their authority as a tool of domination over others, whereas they should be stewarding it as a tool of dominion to care for what you have entrusted to us, God. I pray for the pain that people are feeling around the world, from isolation, from COVID, from injustice, from historical racism and racism that is still there. I pray, God, that you would be healing, that you would be renewing all people, that communities would be full of love and encouragement. I pray for the church globally, that they would be there. They would be there making disciples, sharing your love, shining your light in a world that is full of darkness. And God, may the news be a challenge to us. Help us to think, how are we able to be in the world but not of the world, knowing that our home is ultimately with you in heaven, as we strive to do your will here on earth and see your kingdom come. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be showing each of us what it is that we can do each day, that it would be helping us carefully contemplate the words that we share with those around us. that the tongue is such a powerful thing that we would use it for good and not evil, that our words would be balms of honey that soothe pain, not barbs of wires that cause pain. I pray that we would reflect Christ's likeness, that you would be working in us each and every day to make us more like Christ when times are difficult, Lord. And we lament what is broken. We ask, why does it have to be this way, God? Why do people have to suffer? Why do people have to die at the hands of police officers who are there to look after us and enforce justice and administer that? What do we do, Lord, when that trust is broken? And thank you that we can be comforted by it. Our trust is perfect in you, that the world is not as it should be, and that you are working to make all things new. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a song that will be familiar to a lot of our evening congregation, but for those of you who don't know it, feel free just to have a listen first and then join in when you're comfortable. It's about the day when Jesus will return and take his people home.
Waiting for her groom will be a church. It's great to be able to join together and raise our voices in praise of our Lord. So wherever you are, whether you are at your own home or whether you're watching this with others, let's just stand and sing Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of the nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Good morning. Welcome to Church Online. And welcome to this part of the service where we open God's Word and share together around the story of the Good Samaritan. But before we get to that passage, I'd like to read from the book of James, James chapter 2. And I'd like to read this passage in response to the death of George Floyd. If you're interested in some personal thoughts, pastoral thoughts, I did post something on the official MCC Facebook page earlier this week, so you can have a look at that if you haven't seen that already. But I wanted to just acknowledge his death, and I wanted to do that by reading a passage of Scripture. So James chapter 2, reading from verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, do not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor at my feet," have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and becomes judge with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'd like to pray. Father, at this time we focus for a few moments our thoughts around the death of George Floyd, a black American who died in the hands of several white police officers. Father, I pray at this time as the family grieves, I pray that they will find comfort. I pray that they will find comfort in your presence. I also pray, Lord, that justice will prevail. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our series looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a three-part series, and today is the final part in this series. In week one, we looked at loving God. And how do we love God? We love God by responding to his love for us. God first loved us, and we respond to his love. The second week, we looked at loving your neighbor. And we don't wait for our neighbor to love us and then respond as we do with God, but rather we take the initiative and we love our neighbor. And of course, the big picture of this story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, is that the lawyer has to love the Samaritan, to love that person whom he hated, and it was mutual hatred, but love the Samaritan. Not just do the good works that the Samaritan did, but to love the Samaritan. This week I want to focus on the third area of love, and that is loving yourself. I want to look at, and I've entitled the message, A Healthy Self-Love. Love God, love others, love yourself. Let's read our text and then we'll share some thoughts. So the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, and reading from verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it? How do you understand it? Or how do you practice it?" is the question. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Well, I want to look at a biblical perspective of self-love, healthy biblical self-love. I want to start with seven underpinning thoughts. These are observations from our text and observations from Scripture that I think will be helpful to us as we attempt, as I attempt, to unpack this area of loving yourself. Love God, love your neighbour, and love yourself. Firstly, I want you to notice with me that in the text, love has three directions, or if you like, it's three directional. It's up, it's out, and it's in. It's love upwards. We love upwards toward God. We love out. There's an outward direction in which we love others and we love our neighbour. And then thirdly, there's an inward direction. Three directions, up, out, and then in. The inward perspective or direction where we love inward, we love ourselves. I want you to notice also in the text that the text has two commands and two actions, or two how-tos. Two commands. The first command, love God. And the action to that, or how do we do that? Well, we love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Then we have the second of the two commands, love your neighbor. And the action that's attached to loving your neighbor is that, or the how-to, the action, the how-to, is that we love our neighbor in the way that we love ourselves. So there are two commands with two actions. I also like to point out that self-love here is not a command. In fact, self-love in this passage is assumed. It is assumed. The scripture assumes that you and I will love ourselves. In fact, all of the biblical references to self-love, all of the biblical references, there is not a command to love yourself, but rather it is an assumption. Matthew 22, verse 39, Mark 12, 31, James chapter 2 and verse 8, Ephesians 5, 33, in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19 and verse 8. All assumptions that we will love ourselves, not a command. Also, I would like to point out that self-love is connected to loving God. It's not just connected to loving your neighbor. The fifth thing that I'd like to point out, and I think this is foundational, to me, this is elementary. It's pivotal for us attempting to understand what self-love is. And that is to understand that God is love. 1 John 4, 7. Let's read that together. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. The very essence of God's character is love. It is love that motivates God's actions. This is clearly seen in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. God, who is love, loves. And how did he love? He sent love. He sent himself. God is love. God loves. He gives love. Somebody once said to me, Jeremy, if you want to know what love is, describe God. If you can describe God, you will be describing love. Love is God. God is love. The sixth thing that I'd like to mention, just some underpinning thoughts to help us understand self-love, is that love, according to the scriptures, is the greatest of all virtues. Now, there are many virtues that the Bible describes. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians 13:13, there, you can read it for yourself, it lists three virtues, three great virtues, faith, hope, and love. And then the Apostle Paul says there that love is the greatest. They're great virtues, but the greatest of all virtues. Think of all the virtues in life, love is the greatest virtue. I wonder why it's the greatest. Maybe it's the qualities of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through to 8. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through to 8. Listen to the qualities of love. This is what makes love the greatest virtue. It says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And the writer there lists and goes on, but you get the thought here. Love is the greatest, maybe because of the qualities that it has. Love is the defining characteristic of the Spirit-filled life. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are known for our love for one another, and our love for others. The seventh thing that I wanted to just mention very briefly as underpinning thoughts to self-love is I would like you to notice the reciprocal nature of love. I think this one makes love the greatest virtue. It's the reciprocal nature. Love is perfected. Love is made complete in its reciprocal nature, in that we give love and we receive love. It's in the giving and the receiving that love works at its best. I think a lot of relational breakdown takes place when one party stops loving the other or stops receiving love, stops giving or receiving. And so this reciprocal nature of love, it's made perfect when we give it and when we receive it. Some people are good at giving love, but they don't like to receive it. Some people are good at receiving, but they don't like to give it. Love finds its way. It's perfected in this reciprocal nature. It gives and it receives. So just a few underpinning thoughts there about love. Before we try or attempt, or I do, to speak for a few minutes about self-love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. The assumption there that we love ourselves. I think it's important here for us to look for a biblical definition of self-love. A biblical definition, a healthy biblical understanding. Very easy, and in my research I discovered that many people, when they talk about self-love, talk about it from that perspective of inspirational, motivational, believe in yourself, love yourself, you know, you're the cream on the cake, the ace in the pack, you know, you're the head, not the tail, and you know, it's very motivational and uplifting and encouraging. But I think while that has its place, I think if we look at self-love from that perspective only, I think it's very thin. I think it wears thin. I think there needs to be more substance to it. And of course, for us as Christians, we should look for a biblical perspective. Of course, as I've mentioned, that there is no command to self-love. And I think what's important here is that we need to look at the tenor of Scripture, not just an isolated Scripture here and there, but look at the tenor. And as I've done that, I've discovered for myself, and in talking to friends, what I think is, from where I am now and have been for a short period of time, this understanding of self-love. And so I'd like to quote to you what I believe, looking at the Scriptures, a healthy self-love is, or what it looks like. And I'm going to define it this way. Self-love is appreciating my life as a gift, being kind and gracious to my whole self, physical, spiritual, strengths and weaknesses. Self-love, I define it this way. Let me read that again to you. I'm defining self-love in this way. Self-love is appreciating my life as a gift, being kind and gracious to my whole self, physical, spiritual, strengths and weaknesses. Let's have a look at it together. Firstly, appreciating my life as a gift. My life is a gift. Now, I was thinking about this, and most Christian faiths have this ritual or ceremony or practice or service, in that when a baby is born, we pray over that baby, we dedicate that baby. Some people might call it a christening, but at some point in that first few months, the baby is brought to either a priest or a minister or a pastor, in much the same way that Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated to God. And if you can remember back, I mean, you won't remember your dedication, I don't remember mine, I was too young, but most of you would acknowledge that in that service or that ceremony, at some point the minister, the priest, will say, this beautiful baby boy, this beautiful baby girl is a gift from God. And we use that language. But, you know, I was thinking about it. How easily do we move away from that understanding? When was the last time you thought of yourself as a gift from God, a gift to your parents, a gift to your family, a gift to other people, a gift to the community that you're in? Self-love is appreciating, seeing myself as a gift from God. Of course, the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a heritage, a reward, a gift from God. Seeing yourself as a blessing, as a gift, and appreciating yourself. Just in the same way, or in some way, it's probably not the best example, but, you know, think of the gifts that you've been given, or the gifts that you've given to other people, and think about the appreciation that's in those gifts. In the same way, I think self-love appreciates, it see yourself as a gift from God to others. Secondly, then, we look at this thought of being kind and gracious. Kind and gracious. I like that. Be kind to yourself. Self-love is kind to yourself, being kind and being gracious to yourself, not beating yourself up. It's always a sign to me when I hear and see people beating on themselves, putting themselves down, speaking negatively and critically of themselves. I think self-love is kind and gracious. And it's kind and gracious in four areas. Firstly, to the physical. Of course, we would all be aware of that saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, the truth is, I am and you are beholders. We behold our own physical sense, especially when we look in the mirror. And the thought here is being kind and gracious to our physical self. Jesus grew. Bible tells us in the book of Luke that he grew in wisdom and understanding of the purpose for his life. He grew in grew in wisdom, in stature, and he grew in favor with God and man. Anyone who has vision for their life and is connecting to purpose, we need the favor of God and man. But he grew in stature as well. He physically grew. Physical beauty grows. I think physical beauty takes time to grow and to develop. In fact, I think that the more you understand yourself, the more you're able to appreciate your physical, the physical part, the physical aspect. I don't think we can remove the physical from the rest of our life. I don't think we can remove the physical aspect, our physical stature, from self-love. It's a part of it. When I was in my teenage years, probably 10, 12, 13, 14, I had bad acne, pimples and all over my face. And I remember one day going into the bathroom, got up and went into the bathroom, and my mum had put a scripture on the mirror in the bathroom. It was a scripture taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it said, "He makes all things beautiful in his time." And my mum strategically positioned it there. So I'm looking at myself in the mirror and looking and thinking, it's ugly, and you know, and just battling with that. And then there was this verse of scripture, "He makes all things beautiful." Well, the first time I saw it, I took it off the mirror, scrunched it up and threw it in the bin. Miraculously, it appeared again on the mirror the next day. But there's some truth in that. He, God, makes all things, even our physical, makes all things beautiful in his time. Maybe you beat yourself up about your physical appearance. Often we beat ourselves up in comparison to others. I wish I could look like he did. I wish I had the stature or the look of him or her. And that comparison trap, what a trap that is. Be kind to your physical self. Be gracious to your physical self. The third area is spiritually. So appreciating my life as a gift, being kind and gracious to my whole self, physical, spiritual, strengths and weaknesses, spiritual. Kind and gracious in this area, spirituality. The truth is that we are all seeking spiritual significance. We're all looking for some meaning or purpose spiritually. My wife's favorite verse of scripture is Ephesians 2:10. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship," God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand," or prepared in advance, "for us to do." Spiritual significance is found in purpose. Not only purpose, but I'll just take that one aspect of spirituality, finding purpose for our life. And being kind and gracious in that area. Accepting who you are and accepting the works that God has created for you. Again, we can fall into that trap of comparing ourselves to other people's spirituality, other people's purpose. Again, what a challenging space when we're always comparing ourselves to others and often not measuring up, wishing that we were something that we're not. God has purpose for you, spiritual purpose for you. I'd encourage you to find that purpose. And when you find it, be kind and gracious to yourself. Accept the way that God has wired you. Accept the way that God is working in and through your life. It'll be different to everybody else. You'll have a different purpose. But coming to that place in self-love where we can accept that. And then, of course, we look at appreciating, being kind and gracious in the area of strengths and weaknesses. Be kind and gracious to ourselves with our strengths and with our weaknesses. You know, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. And I think it's important to acknowledge both strength and weakness. Outside of the church, outside of having a life in relationship with Jesus, most of the motivational speakers and talk and advice in that space generally encourages you to build on your strengths and just let your weaknesses go. In fact, some teaching is avoid focusing on your weaknesses, just focus on your strengths and build with your strengths. I don't find that in Scripture. In fact, I find in Scripture that, yes, we build on our strengths, but we also build on our weaknesses. Be kind and gracious with your strengths, but also be kind and gracious to yourself in the area of your weakness. Paul has some beautiful teaching on this. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is a great passage of Scripture. Again, a familiar passage. But listen to what Paul says about weakness. "But he said to me," the Spirit said to me, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. Wow. This exchange of weakness for strength. When we live that spirit-filled life, that spirit-led life, we can exchange our weakness, not discount them, not put them aside and just focus on strength, but acknowledge that in our weakness, we're made strong. God's strength, God's power is perfected in our weakness. You know, often people will say of me, they'll hear of something that's happened, something I've done or whatever it might be, and they'll say, wow, even Jeremy, wow, that happened for you. You know, and there's this sort of sense there, this underlying sense, wow, you know, I didn't think you'd be able to do that, or I didn't think you would have that, or, you know, I like that. In that sense, there's an acknowledgement that, well, it had to be God. Well, Jeremy, in and of himself, I don't think he could do that, or that's probably true. My weakness has been perfected. When we can look for and believe for and accept that exchange. I want to encourage you to be kind and gracious with your strengths and with your weaknesses. You can do a lot in weakness. In fact, I think it was Paul that said somewhere in Scripture that I'm trying to go off the cuff here, but he talks about strength and weakness and that weakness, God takes the weak, doesn't he? He takes the foolish to confound the strong or the wise. Rejoice in that. Accept that. Okay, I didn't do that. God did that through me. Well, what a great testimony to God. So a few thoughts there on self-love, loving yourself. Let me say it again, that definition. Self-love is appreciating my life as a gift, being kind and gracious to my whole self, physical, spiritual, strengths and weaknesses. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this wonderful story, the story of the Good Samaritan. And Lord, we've looked at it over the last 3 weeks, loving you, loving others. And today, in some small way, we've just looked at self-love, loving ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a healthy self-love. We don't need a truckload of it, but we also don't need, it's not as if we don't need it at all. And so I pray you would help us. I pray this morning that those that are hearing me that are struggling with self-love, I pray, Lord, that some of the truths, some of the revelations, some of the thoughts today will be an encouragement to them. I pray also, Lord, that you would help those who have a healthy self-love to get alongside maybe some that don't have a healthy self-love but are struggling in this area and to be a support and encouragement to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen, 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 amen. Well, that concludes our three-part series on the Good Samaritan. Next week, our senior minister, Pastor Heath Smith, will be bringing God's word to us. And I think he's going to start a new series, which we look forward to. And so until then, be good, be kind, and be generous. And we'll see you soon. God bless.
As we come to this time of communion, we have the opportunity to remember all that Jesus has done for us. We remember Jesus at this time because it's so easy to forget. So easy to forget that he has sacrificed his life so that we might have life. What an amazing grace it is that he has shown us. As Don Carson says, it is scandalous that the Son of God would die for me and for you and to all who would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved, that Jesus' death would bring forgiveness and redemption. As we celebrate communion, we ask that you do it as a family. Grab some bread and a cup and celebrate this together. We come knowing that Jesus taught us on that last night before he was crucified that we are to take the bread and to eat it. This is his body. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, all of you, in remembrance of me." Well, we take the bread and we eat and we feed in our hearts on the death of the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup, we remember his sacrificial death for us. We remember that through Jesus we have redemption, that we're set free from all of those idols that we worship and set free from the wounds that we carry. We lay them all down at the foot of the cross.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Saviour on that cursed tree. Let's praise the name of the Lord our God.
Jesus, I sing for all that you have done for me. This is Amazing Grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the horror with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your
again for joining us at MCC Online. Just a couple of things to wrap up the day. Thank you again to Jeremy, who's been sharing with us three pictures from the Good Samaritan and how we might live differently and love our neighbours and love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. A heads up, over the next few weeks, I'll be bringing the messages from 1 Peter. It's a great book about being strangers and aliens in your own land, feeling like you're only here passing through. And it's a great opportunity for us to dig deep into God's word together.